I could go through describing heaven. We've described it many times. But the Bible describes heaven as the joyous anticipation of all our hopes and desires and anticipations. It's the best thing that God has for us. Images from heaven just flow through the Scripture. It's called the glorious assembly in Hebrews chapter 12. It's where all of us are registered. It's the place where we're coming to this festal celebration, this gigantic gathering of all of the saints and all of those who are redeemed. But what I'd like to do this evening to really help us see that is to just track with Jesus as he was heading home. Jesus walked through his earthly life, and as he drew to an end, as I mentioned this morning, he began a series of steps directing his pathway, showing he was headed home. He started talking about it in John 14. He says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. That's where I'm going. And if I'm going there, I'm going to come back and get you, and I'm going to take you to be with me." He just kept emphasizing that all through that last night. And what's amazing is that even when Jesus was preparing to walk to Gethsemane, and that's where I want to pick up next in Matthew chapter 26, because Jesus did something very interesting. I alluded to it this morning, but Matthew 26, the familiar passage, 26:26 is about the Lord's Supper. But after the Lord's Supper, we get a little glimmer of what was going on during the Lord's Supper. And what I want to show you is Matthew 26 and verse 30. Because what did Jesus do as he prepared, as he faced death, and as he prepared for death? How did Jesus, the perfect one, God in human flesh, how did Jesus prepare as he faced death? Well, it says in Matthew 26 and verse 30, that after the Passover, it says, "And when they had," and it's just one Greek word, humneo. In English, it says, "sung a hymn." But the Greek word sounds, it's one of those transliterated words. Remember, many times I've told you that they don't translate the words. They actually bring them into English. The word here is humneo. And so we just put a Y in there instead of a U, and we said him. It's the same exact word, just brought into the English language. So it says, "And when they had humneo, sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives," which is to Gethsemane. The word "sung a hymn" translates one Greek word, which means literally hymning. When you read speaking to yourselves in Psalms, hymns, it's the word, again, humneo, it's hymning. When you hear about Paul down in the Philippian jail after they'd beaten the tar out of him, what was he doing? He was humneo. He was hymning again. It's very interesting, this idea. This was the what they're coming out of. The Lord's Supper is what we call the Passover Seder. Remember, we just celebrated earlier this year. That special meal remembering the great deliverance out of the bondage of Egypt. Well, we already know what the Jews did at the Passover. The Jewish people, because they always are so methodical, would sing a certain set of songs, which are the praise songs. And the word, you know the word for praise, it's hallelujah. Well, they call these the hallel songs, the praise songs. And those songs were always sung at the Passover. There were always two of them sung before you did the meal. The rest were interspersed throughout the meal, and finally the last one was sung at the end, when everything was over. So we know, we can track exactly in the Bible what Jesus was doing at that Last Supper, Passover. The Passover songs, the Hallel or praise songs, were recited at Passover. These are Psalms 113 through 18 and 136. Those seven Psalms, 113, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, and 136, are the ones that were always used during the Last Supper, Passover meal. God's Word tells us that Jesus must have led the disciples, right here in verse 30, in singing these songs. Because the word, humneo, usually meant the whole group of seven. So when they had sung the whole group of seven, they went to the Mount of Olives. They went to Gethsemane. So with that context, I'd like to talk to you about those seven psalms. If you think about it, 7. There's 1:13, 1:14, 1:15. And then there's 1:17, 1:18, 1:36. So I only mentioned 6. The middle one I left out. That's the 116th. Now, we don't think this way, and I don't want to get you bogged down. I don't want you drifting off into space. But to the Jewish people, 7 was very important because it was a complete set. And so to the Jewish people, if you had 7, you had a complete set. But beyond that, they usually looked at sevens as climaxing with the center, with the fourth of the group of 7. And if you want to get something interesting, read in the Old Testament when there are lists of 7 things. Look at what the fourth one is. Usually they even alter the order to emphasize that middle one, because in their minds the 7th one stands out. So with that in mind, we know Jesus sang all 7 of those psalms. But which one was emphasized? Well, let's go back to that psalm, because it's the 116th psalm. And what you find, amazingly enough, is Jesus is even quoting this psalm at the Last Supper. When Jesus was talking about communion, he is quoting from this psalm. That's how important it was. During the evening, we know that they sang all 7. But instead of going through all of them, let's just pick the middle one, the 116th. Because I want to show you what Jesus was singing as he was preparing to walk to the cross. As Jesus was preparing to die, he wanted to die gracefully, because he wanted to show us. In all points, he was tempted like as we are, and he wanted to show us how to do it. And so Jesus walked peacefully to the cross for us. And he went out singing a hymn. One of the hymns he sang is right here in the 116th psalm. As David sang of the good shepherd walking him through the valley of death's shadow, so the good shepherd sang of God's power and grace as he also himself headed off to die the death of deaths as the Lamb of God. There are many things we can learn from the 116th psalm, and I just want to pack in as many as we can in the next few minutes. The first one is, the first truth we can learn from what Jesus said and did the night of those pains of death is it is a very personal time. If you look at the 116th psalm, what you find is that the psalmist refers to himself 37 times. Now, whenever you find in such a short little psalm, these few verses, 19 verses, to talk about yourself 37 times is like twice in every verse. So this is an intensely personal psalm. There's a lot of first-person pronouns in this psalm. It was only Jesus who couldn't sleep as he faced death. The disciples couldn't stay awake. Death is a very personal thing. You know, someone gets a kind of a bad report from the doctor. Other people, they hear about it, they go, oh boy, that's terrible, and they go right to sleep. The person that got the report, they can't sleep at night. They're thinking, you see, death is very personal because it's me that's dying. It's not everybody else, it's me. See, and that's the first thing you see about this psalm, preparation for death. It's very personal. The psalmist is talking about himself. He uses the Lord's name 15 times.